Good morning. It's so good to see you all this morning. My name is Zan, and I'm on staff here at First Baptist, and on behalf of the whole community, we hope that you feel welcome today. Those of you that are visiting today, and those of you that have been here for decades, and somewhere in between, welcome. As we move into the fall season, we begin our fall order of worship. The staff team gathered together and planned for what worship will look like this fall. We hope that it feels familiar and that you might notice a few tweaks. Pastor Laura shared about this in the newsletter this week, so maybe you saw some information about it there. If you didn't get the newsletter, feel free to let us know that on a connection card. You can place it in the plate as it goes by later. We want to make sure you all know what's happening around here and that you're getting the newsletter. One change I want to name specifically is about the prayer concern cards or the celebration cards. In your pews, you have prayer cards. We're going to be collecting those later in the service than we're used to. So there's a hymn after the sermon, and that's when the ushers will come by to collect prayer cards. If you have a prayer concern or celebration that you would like read aloud during the prayers of the people, you can fill that out and hand it to an usher as they walk by. It takes many of us to pull off a Sunday morning. It takes the staff team, plus lots of members of the church family. This is why we have pumpkins today, because you get to take your pick of the patch of dates for greeting and for reading and for providing flowers for worship. You'll see me outside in the hallway after worship with lots of signups so that we can help make church happen. So I invite you to come see me, get a little dose of sugar, and sign up for dates that work for you for those ministry tasks. Another one out there is the gathering. Our campus ministry begins this week, and we provide a meal, home-cooked or delivered from a restaurant, each week, and so there's a sign-up for that, too, that's called the gathering. That will be out with, sign-up will be near me at the ministry station, so come see me out there. Invite you to notice the upcoming gatherings and worship services. We've got Ad Libitum coming up. The Blessing of the Animals service is coming up. And a celebration of shared ministry with Pastor Laura on October 11, the official installation service. So we hope that you will put that on your calendars and be present for that celebration. Speaking of celebrations, next Sunday is our Coming Home Sunday, a festive regathering of our community after our summer schedules and summer travels. We'll gather together, church school will start for kids, and then we'll head outside for a party. We'll have a popcorn bar, live jazz music, and face painting. All ages are welcome to get face paint if they want. So we invite you to come and be a part of that celebration next Sunday. We came together to worship the living God, to be together, to receive love, and to give love. So let's do that now.
please stand in body or spirit? Let us pray together. Creator God, you bless us with your love and grace always, and are with us now as we gather in your name. May we feel your presence as we sing and pray and study your word, and celebrate our covenant with you and with one another in the sacrament of communion. Show us how to fulfill your commandment of being love. Give us wisdom and courage to serve you as your beloved community. We pray in the powerful name of the risen Christ. Amen. In the responsive psalm. Teach us, O Lord, the meaning of your laws. Amen. We will keep them at all times. Give us understanding.
We will keep it with all our hearts.
Make us go in the path of your commandments. Fulfill your promise to us. Behold, we long for your commandments. From Paul's letter to the Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The word of God for the people of God.
rise in body or spirit for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel comes from Matthew chapter 18. Let us listen for the word of God. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The word of God for the people of God.
Play a game of I Spy real quick. I spy something blue. What do you think, Benji? Penny's shirt? Nap? Good guess. Eleanor? Nope. Good guess. Amelia? No. Lots of shirts have blue on them today. Emma? Yeah, Ruby's shirt? No. Look up. Think up. Look up and around. I spy something blue. Tom?
The rim up there.
Ooh, the rim up there. Good guess. Not it. You might have to look up and backwards. Behind you. Ooh, some of us. What do you think, Penny? Ooh, you're close. Uh-huh. What's that? What are you saying that? The blue in the window. Yeah, up above the choir. Uh-huh. The blue in the window. Okay, so what does it mean to spy something? What were you just doing? Looking for something. Noticing. You're paying attention. We're going to learn a new song for our congregational song, and it starts with this. Seek ye first. Seek. Which is a little bit like spy. Would you put your hands up like this? Like you're looking for something? Seek ye first. Look for it. Pay attention. Notice it. All those things are what that means. Seek it. And then lean into it. Can you lean now? Lean into it. Go get in there. When you seek and you notice the kingdom of God, lean into it. What is the kingdom of God? I think the kingdom of God is what it looks like when what?
The kingdom of God is heaven.
Heaven. Heaven here on earth and heaven above. Yeah, when we see all people living in a way that's good for all people, that might be what the kingdom of God looks like. When we see people living and loving the way Jesus taught us, that might be. Can you put up your seeking goggles again? Your binoculars? You're seeking, and then what are you doing? You're leaning into it. Go get in that kingdom of God. Join in that beloved community. Yeah, so we're going to sing the song. The words are, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Look for the kingdom. Look where the good is. Look where the love is. And then lean into it. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus said these words. He said, don't worry. There's lots of things to think about. But we invite you. I invite you. God invites you. To pay attention, to think about these things. Notice, look for it, and then when you see it, when you see love in action, Lean in. Be a part of it. So we're going to sing the song now with Miss Shanae. And then next week, we'll sing that song before we come up for time as children. We're going to make a little change. Instead of walking while we sing, we're going to stay in our seats to sing. And then once we're done singing about noticing the kingdom of God, then we'll walk up together. We're wondering if that might help us really sing the words and think about the words if we're not moving at the same time. Okay? So if that's for next week, you'll see me do this when it's time to come up. Then you'll know. Okay, let's sing together. We can all sing. It's in your bulletin. God, we're ready to seek it out and lean in to all that living and loving like you have asked us to do. That's what we want to be about. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
During my sophomore year of high school, I had a falling out with one of my friends. One day, she just stopped speaking to me. I didn't know why at first. Over time, I came to the realization that I had offended her with something I had said. And I knew the words that had offended her. I had, in fact, felt bad after I said them, but in my adolescence, I assumed that it was no big deal. As a teen, I had no clue about how to handle conflict. So I let the distance between the two of us grow, and due to both of our avoidance of the conflict between us, school days became increasingly difficult. Since we weren't speaking with one another, it meant that our friends were stuck in the middle. They didn't want to pick sides, so it left us all in an awkward dance for many months. And then, one day just before winter break, I asked my mom for advice. And she recommended that maybe I should initiate a conversation with this friend. But I could not imagine doing such a thing. What would I say? What would she think after all of these months? And so my mom suggested, well, if speaking with her feels too hard, maybe you could write her a letter. And so I did that. I wrote her a long letter in which I apologized for my offensive comment and promised to be a better friend. And I also wrote about how our conflict was affecting our group of friends and could we please move on for everyone's sake. I gave her the letter at the end of school on the day right before winter break, and I asked her to please read it. When we returned from break, she didn't directly address things with me, but I was no longer getting the silent treatment, and we all moved on. Living in community with others is never easy. The early church seems to have experienced similar challenges in their interpersonal relationships that we do. In today's gospel text, Jesus advises the disciples that when someone sins against you, go directly to them and try to resolve it. If that doesn't work, bring a few witnesses with you. And if that doesn't work, then bring the matter before the whole church. This advice from Jesus has been considered by some churches to be a rubric for how to address all conflicts in church life. It's a step-by-step process, and if you follow it, everything will be great, right? If only it were that simple. In my experience, conflict rarely follows a simple pattern. It often is complex and multi-layered. Often conflict arises when two or more opposing perspectives are at odds, but none of them are necessarily bad. They're just different. Jesus' advice seems to assume that we know who is in the wrong and who is in the right. Jesus' advice assumes that all parties involved are willing to meet to discuss the issue. Jesus also seems to assume that the church as a whole will have a clear position about who is in the wrong, and who they will not have taken sides. Has Jesus spent much time in any churches that I know? I'm not sure. Conflict is often messy, and these simple instructions from Jesus can at times feel inadequate. But this advice does represent a good place to start. Jesus' advice here reminds me of various forms of best practices that we as humans attempt to follow, knowing that our human nature will cause us to regularly get it wrong. As I was pondering life in community this week, I got to thinking about church covenants and how these documents represent our attempt to create a rubric of how to live together. A church covenant is a statement of commitment, often printed or pasted into the cover of a hymnal at the local church. Historically, these statements were often read aloud by everyone present on Communion Sundays, a reminder of the promises we've made to one another about how we will live together. We have a church covenant. It's not in our hymnals, but it's hanging on the wall next to the Huron Street door. It's not been updated in several decades. Ours was written in 1987. The First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor Covenant says things like this. We agree to express the power of Christian love to each other. We will seek the will of God, depend on the grace of God, trust in God's promises, and yield ourselves anew to God each day. We will support our church. We will pray. We will show love and respect and support for others, even in disagreement. We will commit ourselves to work for peace and for the alleviation of poverty. And it concludes with these words. We recognize that we exist for the life of the world and have a servant ministry to this community, the university, and the world. Church covenants are aspirational documents. These are things we strive towards. They are who we hope to be. And we recognize that we don't always do it perfectly. We create church covenants knowing that we're human, and we tend not to get it right And so we write down these things that we strive for. We attempt to order our lives by these aspirational documents. We make promises to one another and to God. And we recite promises when we dedicate our babies, when we welcome new members. And the reality is, we don't always keep those promises that we make. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we don't live up to our ideals. And so we might wonder, why do we bother? Why do we write these words down? Why do we make promises that we can't keep? There was a pastor once who was struggling to navigate a conflict in her church. It was not a simple conflict like the one Jesus describes today. It was one of those conflicts where two people had differing perspective, but neither was clearly wrong. And so this pastor sought advice from their region minister, who asked them, "Well, what does the Constitution say?" These documents, these promises, are important because when conflict arises, they are a good place to start. When my high school friend was offended by my words, she didn't come to me directly. She didn't follow that rubric from Jesus. But when I asked my mom for advice, a direct conversation is where she thought to start. And it made a difference. Our resolution didn't take the exact trajectory described by Jesus, but returning to a basic principle of working it out directly, it helped. We humans rarely deal with conflict perfectly. Sometimes our rubrics, our covenants, our promises fail us, but they're a good place to begin. In just over a month's time, we will have what is called a pastoral installation service during Sunday morning worship. An installation of a new pastor is a special worship service that is about many things. It's about celebrating a new season of ministry, marking it officially. It's about recognizing this ministry as a calling, that God has brought a particular leader to a particular place at a particular time. And it's about establishing the beginning of a covenant relationship between pastor and congregation. On October 11th, we will be joined by some of my family and friends, colleagues and mentors, and by some of our local religious leaders. And during worship, we will make promises to one another. We will covenant together for the coming season. And these promises will be a touchstone for us, a place to return. Inevitably, conflict will arise over the years ahead. And the vows we will make at the installation will be a reminder to us of the kind of community we strive to be. We won't always get it right, but we can always return to those promises. And as Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Amen. may be seated. Let us turn our hearts before God in prayer. God of grace and steadfast love, we thank you for your commandments, which order our life together. We thank you for calling us to live honorably with one another, and pray for your grace as we try to do all that you require of us. Increase in us, we pray, the capacity to love you and our neighbors without reserve. Not half-heartedly, but with our whole hearts, we bring before you the cares, the concerns, and the joys that occupy us. We remember before you those who are at odds with one another, in families, in neighborhoods and offices, and in the church. We pray for nations in the midst of internal or external struggles and conflict. Teach us, O God, to seek nonviolent ways towards resolution and justice. Help us to speak the truth and to listen with understanding when perspectives are far apart. We pray for love to bring peace into every troubled heart and place. We remember before you those who have physical needs, all who are hungry and thirsty, all who are exhausted by the demands of work and caregiving, all who are sick or recovering from surgery, and all who live with chronic pain. Bring relief and rest, we pray. We remember those weighed down with needs of heart and soul, a worry that keeps us awake at night, grief that accompanies us everywhere we go, depression that clouds us, an addiction that grips us. Lift all of these heavy burdens with the light and peace of your presence, we pray. Today we pray especially for Noreen and Donna, Grange, Pidgey, Bob, Judy, John, Mary Margaret, Erica, Marilyn, Keith, Marlene, Roberta, Mervyn, Esther, Marilyn, Helga, Cindy, Greg, Keith, Beth, David, Jamie. We remember before you, O God, not only our cares, but also our joys. A birthday celebrated, an anniversary enjoyed, new beginnings, a baby born, new school year begun, a new job, a new relationship. We thank you, O God, for the gift of laughter, for enduring friendships, for cherished memories. We give thanks that with you there is always a new beginning, a way where there is no way, hope beyond hope, life beyond death. We pray all these things through Jesus the Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Paul's counsel to the church in Rome was this: owe no one anything except to love one another. So let us love one another and all in God's world by sharing what we have been given, so that needs are met and good news is proclaimed. Let us worship God with our gifts.
Thank you.
Siblings in Christ, this table does not belong to First Baptist Church. It belongs to God. And so therefore, all are welcome to gather here at God's table and receive God's grace. In just a moment, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Today, you will remain in your seats. The communion servers will bring the bread and then the cup to you, and you can pass it along your pew. Please take the bread and the cup and wait to partake in unison when you are invited. Let us prepare our hearts to receive God's grace.
Using the words in the bulletin, let us confess our sins before God and one another as we prepare to receive these gifts. Most hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, proving God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
On the night when our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation.
Let us pray. Holy God, pour out your Spirit upon us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup, which we have received in gratitude. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet, through your Son, Jesus the Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Friends, we, on Communion Sundays, always have a special offering. And today, our special offering is for our Fellowship Fund. You may have heard about that before. Our Fellowship Fund is the fund that allows us to meet the needs of folks who come into the building throughout the week who have some material need. This past week, we were able to help a family with young children avoid eviction. So the money matters. Your generosity makes a difference. And it, to me, feels like being in ministry with one another and with Christ to the world. So we invite you to give generously. The plates are at the doors as you leave.
And now, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with signs of peace. And now may the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ which surpasses all of our understanding, be with you both now and forevermore. Amen.